preached many youth camps. In fact, he preached here at our camp some years back. 15,000 at a North American youth conference. Of course, that conference has grown to twice that size now. Praise God. But I'm glad that he's here to preach the word of the Lord to us. Amen. Come, Pastor Greg. Let's preach with him today.
God bless everybody. What a great atmosphere here today. I'm so thankful that we're filled with nothing but hope in an atmosphere of the Spirit. You know that you're not in an atmosphere that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords if you have no hope. If there is no hope, that's not his atmosphere, that is not his kingdom. His rule and his kingdom and his reign, it is all about hope. And that's the glorious thing that we have in the kingdom of God. It's an eternal thing. It's eternal along with faith and love. And it's something that when you've got hope, it's for something that you can't see. Paul said, if you could see it, why would you hope for it? So it's not the same as looking in a catalog and hoping for it for Christmas. It's not the same thing. It's a spiritual that is a picture that is so visible, so real, so tangible, made possible by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and by his word. But there's a desire, there's a yearning inside of you, there is an expectation inside of you, and it's for something that you are going to possess, and you know you're going to possess it, and you'll never give up hoping that you're going to possess it. That's the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God, but it's the hope of God. That's what we feel. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, go with me to the book of Genesis 37. I want to take a second. Last week I preached about the moment that Jacob hears that his son he thought was dead for 22 years is alive, and the process that he went through, and then all of a sudden the transformation of faith. And this is how he got there. Bible says, verse 32 of Genesis 37, they sent the coat of many colors, it's covered in the blood of a kid, goat, and they brought it to their father, and they said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. He knew it. He said, it is my son's coat. And then this is all a product of his mind here. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth, mourned for his son many days. All of his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, refused to be comforted. And he said, this is the main part, for I will go down into, and this is the Bible's first mention of this word, Sheol. The parallel word in the Greek is Hades. This is the first mention of it. He says, I'm going to go down. Notice who he's going down to, my son. And where he's put his son and where he has put his own destiny is Sheol. Same thing as Hades in the Greek. And then you turn to chapter 42. We'll just skip to 48 when he talks to Joseph about what those 22 years were like. Verse 11 of Genesis 48. Israel said unto Joseph, I had no expectation at all to see your face. And God has showed me also your seed. He said, it never even crossed my mind to go look for you, to believe it wasn't true. I just went ahead and sentenced it, and this brand new word into the kingdom of God's family that does not belong, Sheol. I'm going to go down unto the grave, unto my son. So Joseph would already be there. I'm going mourning the entire time. But I'm going to a place that unbelievers go to. I'm going to a place all dead people go to. All dead people, but people in this family. Praise God. Go ahead and be seated. What a glorious few scriptures that we have that we can quote from memory, like, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, and that word is Hades, which is the realm of death, shall not prevail against it. It's not the devil. The devil's not in control of death. It's not his kingdom. He's got no kingdom. Death is the place that Adam went to when his body died. Death is a place that is as real in existence as the physical life you live before you die. Your body is done with, but you are not done with. You have something, and you created it eternally. And it goes to a place called Sheol, or called Hades, death. It is a realm. It is a place. And the Lord said that I promise you that the gates of death will not be able to prevail against the church. That's very, very powerful, because you're talking about gates of death. And one of the most amazing thing about agates that you can find is that it's in the New Jerusalem, and there's many different types of agates in the New Jerusalem. And there's carnelian, you've got regular chalcedony, there is chrysoprase, and you've got onyx, you've got sardonyx. They're all different types of agates, and they're all found in the New City, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city of the living God. There's also pearls that are found there, and the Bible said that they are the gates of this unbelievably beautiful city, the New Jerusalem. And so when you talk about the old Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, it is obviously just like the tabernacle according to the pattern. It is also according to the pattern of the heavenly Jerusalem that is not in time, but it's in eternity. Therefore, it's always been. Therefore, the one in the earth realm is only nothing more than just a shadow of it. It wasn't first. The heavenly Jerusalem was first. And so when you think about the fact that you've got these 12 gates, 12 pearls, and you've got 12 foundations in this beautiful new Jerusalem according to Revelation 21, the scripture said that when the Lord redeemed Abraham, the Bible said he redeemed Abraham, and by faith he goes out, he does not know where he's going. He does not know where he's going because he's not going somewhere physically. He's not going somewhere called Canaan. The scripture said where he's going, so very true about these patriarchs that we don't get to see much of, and this is exactly what they were doing and who they were. Paul said, actually, he's looking for a city that hath foundations. He's looking for a city. It's already got foundations, whose builder and whose maker is God. Think about that fact, because we know that those foundations are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And their names are written in the foundations. And so I don't believe that the heavenly is following the earthly. I don't believe that the Lamb is slain first and then is slain in heaven. From the foundation of the earth, the Bible said the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. Nothing goes on in the earth that's not already gone on in the heavens. Nothing is done here on planet earth that heaven responds to and it changes heaven. And so you've got a city with foundations, and those are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And we could name those 12 apostles of the Lamb all the way to that last one, Matthias. And his name's been written into the foundations. And the Bible said that's what Abraham's looking for, a city. It doesn't say that in Genesis. It seemed like he's just wandering around on a planet somewhere in a little area of the earth, but no, he's not. He's not. He doesn't have his head looking at the ground. He's got his head in the spiritual realm, and he is looking for a city. And the Bible said, guess what? God hath prepared for them a city. That's unbelievable to me. Before there is a real Jerusalem, there is a heavenly Jerusalem. When you talk about what God was doing in this man, Abraham, You've got to understand the power, the potency of the promises he was giving to Abraham, because he is literally who we are now. All Gentiles included in him. We're all blessed in him. All nations of the earth blessed in this one individual. When he called Abraham out and he said, go, and in your seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Paul said he was preaching the gospel beforehand. Yeah, that was the gospel message, that in you, not just Jews, but all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. That's what was getting ready to happen in one seed. In one seed, that seed was Christ, according to Paul. One seed, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. And so he goes out by faith, and the Bible said he's dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, who are the co-heirs with him of the same promise. Israel's not a co-heir of this promise. The other ones are not a co-heir of this promise. There's something that God does only in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those three are very, very special. And they are people that their names are never used again in the Bible. These are people that God made holy unto himself. And so heirs with him. And so it's an amazing thing to recognize that up until Jacob was 15 years old, Abraham was alive. And so up until he was Sierra's age, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were literally together, co-heirs of the same promise. And the glorious co-heirship that they were experiencing, it began with a man by the name of Melchizedek, who the Bible just introduces to us as Melchizedek, King of Salem. And he brings out bread and wine from somewhere. And the scripture says he blessed Abraham. And when he blessed Abraham, he said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he says, blessed be the Most High God who hath delivered your enemies into your hands. And there was a greatness that he felt there. And Hebrews tells us he felt the greatness of God, that he was in the presence of one much greater than him. And the word is larger. It's larger. There's more capacity in him. I've never even met him. I don't know his history. I feel it. And so he just willingly offers a tenth of all the spoils of the kingdoms of the world that he had just received himself. He had just received the kingdoms of this world spoil, 9 kingdoms. And that's a lot of spoil. And he says, take it. And once the Lord takes his portion, or Melchizedek takes his portion, he wants nothing else. He said, take it. And whenever he said take it, he meant take it all. Have it all. He only took off the top. But Abraham still says, I don't want none of it. I don't want anything to do with the spoils of this world. I want what you got. I feel something in you. That's what I'm looking for. The blessing I'm looking for, I've already received. When you blessed me, Melchizedek, when he blessed Abraham, blessed be Abraham. You know there was a laying on of hands. And you know that there was an impartation to the point where Abraham says, I swore an oath in the name of the Lord, the Most High God. I won't take anything from you. I won't even take a thread. I won't even take a sandal brace. I won't take anything. Why? Because I felt something in him that was so much more than I am, and I just won the world war. Think about that. He just won the world war with 318 servants. And he said, I just felt something there. The priest of the Most High God. And that's just how he's introduced, completely veiled. Yeah. You would not know his name means King of Righteousness until Hebrews 7, Paul breaks it down, interprets it. You wouldn't know King of Salem is King of Peace. We thought peace was a thing. But peace is a place. A place. And there's a King of Peace. And both those words are going to be introduced in the very next chapter for the very first time in Scripture. The Bible says that Abraham believed and it was counted unto him as righteousness. That has to do with your seed are going to be like the stars of the sky. If you can count them, go ahead and try it. And the Bible said instead of trying it, he just believed. Counted unto him as righteousness. That's who Melchizedek is. His name is that. But then he's also King of Peace, and here comes a promise of land, inheritance for your children,
Their children, just like was sung about. And he said, I want you to divide animals, cut them in the middle, separate the parts, make a pathway of death. And the Bible tells us that God put Abraham in a kind of a hold of terror and began to speak promises to him about the children of Israel, 400 years in Egypt, coming out with great substance. And in the middle of those covenant promises, he tells Abraham, you are going to be gathered to your fathers in peace. We know from Hebrews that the problem with death is it's got people all their lifetime bound by fear. Their entire lifetime, Hebrews 2:15, have been bound by the fear of death. And he takes the fear out of death. And he says, you are going to be gathered unto your fathers in peace. Think about that. You think about the fact that this is going to be, you're not going just to be buried into the ground. You're definitely not going where everybody else is going, but you are going to be going in peace. We know there's a king of peace. So the Bible tells us he is gathered to his people. Abraham dies, Genesis 25. He's gathered to his people. Who's his people? Well, we start to understand pretty quick because Genesis 26, the Lord appears to Isaac. He introduces himself to Isaac. He says, I am the God of your father Abraham. Let me skip to the New Testament where you've got a bunch of Bible believers that really don't believe the Bible called Sadducees. And they want to put the Lord to the test about resurrection. And they say, seven guys married the same woman. Who's got her in heaven? And the Lord says, you err because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God. And he tells them, he says, as concerning the resurrection from the dead, from the dead. Have you never read where the Lord spoke out of the bush or God spoke to you out of the bush and said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God of the living, not of the dead. All live unto him. Think about that right there. Because when he shows himself to Isaac as the God of Abraham, the Bible said that when he was preparing for them a city, this is Hebrews 11:16, he was not ashamed to be surnamed by them, to be called their God. Which means the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Now think about your name in his. The name Abraham, it represents a dying being. But you put it in his name. He can never die. How in the world are you going to die and you're in his name? If he identifies in the name, I am the God of Abraham, can Abraham be dead? It's not possible that Abraham can be dead. His body might have been buried, but the Bible said he was gathered unto his people. Who are his people? I want you to know Hebrews 12 told us the same picture, and it revealed to us the city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable host of angels, the church of the firstborn, the festal gathering, the spirit of just men made perfect, the God, the judge of all. That's the new Jerusalem. And when he's gathered to his people, he's not gathered to his father. Father's an idolater. He's not gathered to Nahor or anybody else because nobody on planet Earth has ever had what Abraham has. Never has there been somebody in his name. And so he dies, the Bible said, in faith. And the scripture said he died confessing, I'm a stranger here. This isn't my home. I'm not building a house. I'm putting tents around. This is not my place. Why? Because I'm looking for a city. I'm looking for a city. And the thing about that glorious city is that Revelation 21 tells us the 12 gates are the 12 tribes of Israel. Think about that. I'm the God of Abraham. Isaac's got that relationship where he blesses Jacob. And he blesses him in the name of God Almighty. And he puts the blessing of being a sojourner on him in Genesis 28 and 5. And he goes off on his own. And here comes a revelation. And this is the first human being on the planet in the Bible story, rather, that has a revelation of heaven. The staircase reaches to heaven. And then above that staircase, there's standing one. So above that staircase is the heavenly realm. And there's something about that moment that caused him to wake up and start talking about the house of God and what? The gate of heaven. The gate of heaven. Why would you be talking about the house of God and the gate of heaven? I want you to know it's a revelation because there's 12 gates with 12 names on those gates. And they're the 12 sons that have yet to be born to Jacob. He don't have any kids yet, doesn't even have a wife yet, but he's had a revelation of heaven and a promise given to his seed. And the Lord said this time, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac. It's growing, isn't it? Where's Isaac at? He can't be dead either. You might bury him in a cave, but he's been gone for a while. The moment somebody passes from physical existence, they're gone. Bury the body, but they're already gone. And where did Isaac go to? He's in his name. So you know he's gathered to his people. And that's exactly what Genesis 35 said. Isaac was gathered unto his people. This family doesn't die. Not this. Not Abraham. Not. Why? Because the Bible said, I call, you know what he called them? Mine anointed. When he rebuked Pharaoh, when he rebuked Abimelech, when he rebuked whatever other kings, we didn't say it in Genesis, but that's what he said. He said, touch not mine anointed. That's Christ. That's the word Christ there, the anointed. Touch not mine anointed. Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. That's who they are, the anointed. You ever heard about Christ? The people of Christ, my friend, are the people of the anointed. And you want to know where it began? It began with Abraham. It began with the family where Christ began to impart himself into people, human beings, a family with promises, revelation, and divine appearance. Praise God. These aren't people that don't have hope. These are people that against hope can believe in hope. I'm in a hurry. The God he gets hope, believes in hope. He's standing before God that the Bible said calls those things that are not as though they are. He quickens the dead. Calls those things. That's the God he's standing before. Like when he offers up Isaac on the mountain, he's not crying, weeping. Hebrews 11 said he was believing for resurrection. No doubt about it. He was believing for resurrection. I'm talking about some kind of a faith that isn't given to us in the book of Genesis, but it was true nonetheless. Hallelujah. That's the inheritance Jacob's got. The Bible said the God of his father shows up to Laban. Shut your mouth. Don't say good or bad to him. He said, if it had not been for the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine a God called fear? Yeah, he called him fear after Laban trembled. That's why he called him fear. Laban couldn't do anything because your God came and told me, I can't do anything. If it hadn't have been for the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac. Oh, that's an unbelievable thing. When he begins to pray in Genesis 32, he calls on the God of Abraham and the God of my father Isaac. Oh, there's something about that. Can you imagine my children standing up and saying, God of Gray Glover, God of Mitch Glover, God of Alicia Glover. You talk about an inheritance. You talk about something that cannot be shaken. That's what he's going through into. And boom, here comes this evidence. And the scripture says he just blindly interprets it. He lies on his child. He lies on his situation. And you're introduced to that realm called Sheol. That's where people that got no hope go. He said, that's where I'm headed because that's where my son's at. All the while, Joseph, we know, is not there. God's doing the greatest work in this family he's ever done before. When he says, all these things are against me, everything's for him. He said, all these things are against me. No, they're not. They're all for you. But you believe they're against you because you're the one that interpreted all that junk. And that's in the realm of it's over, no hope. You introduce Sheol, hell, Hades. And that's where he puts his boy. There. Granddad isn't there. Granddad isn't in a waiting place. No, the Bible tells us they're already there. We know they're already, their spirits have just been made perfect. They're not waiting on new bodies. They got new bodies. This body's not made new. It's done away with. Nothing about this is good, and nothing about this inherits flesh and blood. But here you've got this father who lets go, and the Bible tells us, Deuteronomy 26 and 5, during this time, before he goes to Egypt, he becomes a wandering Syrian. That's Laban. That's Laban's family. Syrians don't have hope. But that's not who you are, but that's how he's living. A wandering Syrian, what? Ready to perish. And it wasn't until he went down to Egypt that everything changed. He's in an identity crisis. You know he's in an identity crisis, and he's let go of his spiritual inheritance when he starts talking about Sheol. The gates of Sheol are not our destiny. The devil is not in control of any of that either. Death is nothing but, the Bible tells us, a possession. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians 3. He said, guess what death is now? A possession. All things are yours, whether it's life or death. Yeah, God gave us death as a possession because it's gain, not loss. It's gain, not loss. It's the life of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Christ in you that brings the hope for another day. Here, 22 years of Sheol. And then he steps beyond Joseph and he starts talking about what ifs with Benjamin, and he starts talking Sheol again. And it's not until he gets the revelation, he wakes up to it, accepts it, believes it, then he begins to change his tune. And he says, I'll go see him before I die. The Lord meets him in Genesis 46 and says, Joseph's going to close your eyes, meaning Joseph is going to be the caretaker of your death. He goes to Joseph almost immediately and makes him swear, you're not going to bury me in Egypt. I'm going to lie, he said, with my fathers. But he said, I will be gathered to my people. Tell me you've got a change that's taken place. The transformation and the change that's taken place is God is back in his right place. Who's in charge of life and death?
God.
Give me babies.
Am I in God's stead?
I can't give you life. They're scared Joseph's going to kill him. He said, am I in the place of God? You're afraid of death? You're afraid I'm going to bring out retribution on you? I'm not in God's place. Anytime you put a man in God's place, you know who he put in God's place? Evil beasts. Evil beasts. Think about that, because you know he's heard from God. You know he has promises from God about Joseph. Beyond what his wife had spoken, beyond all the other stuff, there's hope, 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 hope. And it looks like it was destroyed, and he puts evil beasts ahead of the eternal power of God. Anytime you fill God's place, which is life or death, you couldn't kill me if you wanted to. God will allow it or not allow it. Devil never has had power of death. He could not kill Job. He said, you can't kill him. Bummer deal, that's Old Testament. Can you imagine now how he destroyed him? Had the power of death, the fear of death. He destroyed him. But here you've got this transformation. Now we're back into being a family. That when we die, we are gathered to another place. The Bible tells us when he dies, he puts his feet up on his bed, and the scripture said he's gathered unto his people. He's buried 70 days later. But the moment he gave up the ghost, gathered unto his people. I want to tell you about the doctrine of baptisms, because it includes the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, which is that realm of death. It isn't Lazarus coming from the dead, not resuscitation, resurrection from a place to where I can never die. That's what you've got, my friend. Eternal life means you can never die. You can never die. And so here I am already. The Bible talks about the doctrine of Christ. It's the teaching of baptisms in Hebrews 6:2. It is the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, all a part of baptisms. You've already been judged in Jesus Christ. And so the Bible said, now guess what we get to do while we're alive? We get to die early so that we can live in Him. We die early so that we can live in Him. And how that happens is we are literally buried into His name. You want to know where eternal life comes from? It's when your name is in His name. It's the same thing as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You could never die because God can't die. And so when you're baptized into His name, you, Greg Glover, is all covered up and a part of now one name. The Bible said He comes declaring that name to the church. He comes in the midst of the congregation of the church singing praises and declaring His name. That's Hebrews 2:12. What name are we singing about? It's the name that's above every other name. What is that name? It's the name that's the same yesterday, today, forever. It's the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of peace. God. And so all of a sudden, there is something happening inside of these individuals. When he transforms and goes to Egypt, the Bible said the next two amazing miracles of faith happen while they're dying. Wouldn't you think that'd be the worst moment for faith? But no, it's the greatest moments for both Jacob, Joseph. The Bible said while he was dying, what? Those 12 gates have 12 names on them. And while he's dying, the Bible said the Lord showed him his seed. Can you imagine? He's dying right here. He's moments from death. But earth is not aligned with heaven, because there's the wrong names for the sons of Israel. Because you don't have Ephraim, because he's a grandson. You don't have Manasseh. But the Lord, some crazy reasons, got him on the gates. And so before he dies, and Joseph brings his boys in front of him, sets them up perfectly for the blessing, and he can't see. The scripture says he guides his hands with wisdom. And he puts that right hand on the head of Ephraim. Puts the left on the head of Manasseh. The amazing thing is, he put both of them as his own sons. Why? Because they're in the gates. They're in the gates. I've got to line up earth with heaven. And the heavenly gates have the names written in them. I want you to know the transformation with the laying on of hands. You got to start looking at baptism when you're talking about the laying on of hands. Because that first laying on of hands, Pastor Glover,
I'll just grab the nose.
Go boom, back, boom. That's the first laying on of hands right there. And the Bible said when that happens, you're not born again. You're born from above. It's not second birth, new birth. It's a completely different birth. You are a heavenly citizen of a heavenly city. The church is not the mother Jerusalem, which is above. It's the mother of us all. It's not the church. It's the city. It's the place. It's the kingdom. It's the city of the living God. And so here you're baptized by the laying on of hands. And he put those boys in his own genealogy. And he blessed him in the name of the God before whom my father Abraham walked, and before whom my father Isaac walked, and the God that's fed me my entire life long. The angel who's redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be. Joseph says, I don't want it like this. He says, I know. Can't stop this. I'm not doing this for you or for me. It's just the way it is. The younger one, the older one's going to be blessed, but the other one's going to be much greater than he is. And the Bible said the fullness of nations will be in him. Think about that. You're talking about Ephraim now. The fullness of nations. When you talk about Ephraim, you're really talking about Israel. The fullness of nations is going to be in him. That's an unbelievable, powerful blessing. He said all of Israel is going to bless by saying, may God make you like the Ephraim and like Manasseh. And the Bible said when he said that, he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Why? He blessed him in the name that Israel was going to bless in. And it was a done deal when he spoke that blessing. Can you see the power that he's dying? Worships. Bible says he blesses a little bit more, gives up the ghost. When Joseph's dying, the Bible said, he remembered the promise of God. God will surely visit you. He's going to bring you up out of this place. He said, I make you swear an oath right now that you're not going to leave my bones in Egypt. Carry me up with you when God comes. The Bible said he made mention of the Exodus in Hebrews 11:22. You want to know why there's a book of Exodus? A book called Exodus? I'd say Joseph created it by making mention of the Exodus. It's the same exact word for Exodus. Literally, it's Exodus in the Greek. He makes mention of the Exodus. God's surely going to visit you. I want you to know there's something about death now, that my bones and my life are not the same thing. I want to be buried in my inheritance, but it's not where I'm at right now. The Bible tells us these 12, their names in heavenly Jerusalem. You know that's exactly where they are when they die. All 12 sons. Why? Because they were born into the right family. Favor to 1,000 generations. Favor to 1,000 generations. The reason why the glory of God rests upon us, it's not because of us. It's because we were born into the family that's got favor, the name of Jesus Christ, the church of the firstborn. Praise God. And so you do not have a worry about death. Bring on death. Where is its sting? It doesn't sting. There is no sting to death. Paul said, for me to die is gain, so bring it on. Why don't you do it quicker? Why don't you do it sooner than later? Can you imagine recognizing this isn't living? This world is not living. I'm walking around right now and I'm so worldly. I can't even see what the patriarch saw. Looking for a city. How in the world are you looking for a city? What are you doing? He's like, and there was a city. I did build him a city, crazy enough. And when they met Salem, they were meeting a part of that city I was building. The king of Salem is the king of Jerusalem. He is a heavenly priesthood. I want you to know there was a favor flow that began before one child. Praise God. And you forget about all that when you put somebody else in God's place. What are you going to put in God's place? A disease? You're going to put God's place at what a doctor said? You're going to put in God's place what a president said? You're going to put in place what the gas prices are saying? And all that stuff is reality, but it isn't God. And it has no place like God. It might make me have to drive less, but there's nobody got the power of life and death but Jesus Christ. He says, I'm he that liveth with dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And he says, I've got the keys of hell and death. Praise God. So here we are. What are we going to pass on, Jacob? He's passing on the God. when he starts to bless Joseph of thy father. This had never happened before, Genesis 49. There's never been a father save the God of thy father. But that's what he does. He says, the mighty God of Jacob, verse 24. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee? Pass it on the God that does not have to reveal himself, as I am the God of your father. It's been the whole intent the whole time. I think the reason why you got no backslidden kids with his in his family is he's passing on the living before he's dead. He's passing on the God of your father blessing while he's still alive, and it doesn't got to be revealed from heaven. I'm the God of your father Abraham. I'm the God of your father Isaac. He's saying, the God of your father is blessing you right now. The God of your father is the Almighty God, the stone, the shepherd of Israel. The God of your father, he's the Almighty. What a God. So that's what Joseph says. He says, and I'm done with this. He said, verse 24, God will surely visit you. What God? Go Exodus 3. He's surely going to visit you. What God, though? God, who, what God are you talking about? He said, verse 15 of Exodus 3, God said moreover to Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. So if you're in that name, you can't die. My memorial unto all generations. If you're in the name of Jesus Christ who lives forever, can you die? So then this isn't life. When I feel better, it's not life. When I feel better, it's a low form of life. But it's not life. It's not the same as a body being made a living soul. No, he's a life-giving spirit. He's a life-giving spirit. It's not I'm going to awaken a body and make it a little stronger. No, this isn't life. Breathing in and out is not life. There's such a power to the life that God's given us that's everlasting, that God wants us to live in and tap into and walk in. It's the power from another world. It's the Bible said it's the power from a world to come. Praise God. Go gather the elders of Israel and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, appeared unto me saying, I have surely visited you. Exactly what Joseph said. God shall surely visit you. We're just wondering what God. Oh, by the way, it's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. My name forever. Don't add nothing to it. It's just the God of Abraham. It's the God of Isaac, and it's the God of Jacob. Don't add in the name of Jesus Christ. When you talk about that name, Merle Walker's in that name. Esther Walker's in that name. And you're much more than what I feel like and what I look like. I've got much more than what's in my bank account. I've got much more than the inheritance I'm leaving to my babies. That's what I want to tell you, my friend, that those gates of hell, that's death. The Bible says it's impossible to hold him captive. The gates of hell versus the gates of the city. I want you to think about the power of the house of God, whose house we are, Hebrews 3. We've got a great priest over the house of God. He's son over his own house. Whose house we are. And you talk about the gate of heaven, and he sets up a stone and he anoints the head. What are you looking at, Jacob? I think he's looking at a whole lot more than we know he's looking at. What are you looking at, Jacob? If you take away the blinders off our eyes and we start looking at that in the spirit, I just believe there's something about that that makes God say, hey, by the way, I am the God of Bethel. Where you anointed the stone. Where you, oh, that's what I did. I poured oil on it. You said you anointed it. That's exactly who I am, by the way. I'm the anointed. Praise God, I set you up. Mine anointed. That's what the name Christ is. Anointed. When it talks about you've received an unction from the Holy One, it's his name you've received. It's his divine nature. He is the anointed. He is the anointed. You've gotten anointing from him. That's not the Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost, because it's all him. You don't break him into parts. He's not put into pieces. And so if he is one thing, he is all things in himself. And so God is love. That doesn't mean just the Holy Spirit's got love. God is love. God is the God of peace. God is a consuming fire. All of this, that's who his nature is. The anointing, you've received him. Him abides in you. You don't need anyone to teach you, but he teaches you all things. Can you imagine having a revelation like Jacob had in the Old Testament? Upgraded. Praise God. Paul said, I went into the third heaven 14 years ago. You're talking, he's not even in Acts 20 right now. 14 years ago. I didn't get there in Rome. I was there before I even started preaching publicly to the third heaven. We're like, if you grow, maybe. No. Let the anointing teach you. Let the name of Jesus Christ teach you. That's what the new covenant is. He said, it doesn't matter if you're the least or if you're the greatest. You're all going to know me. You're all going to know me. You're not going to have to say, go teach your neighbor. Right? So the anointing inside of him teaches him all things. The Bible says the main thing he's teaching us is the things freely given us of God. And one of the greatest things he's given us is that revelation that God is for you. So who can be against you? And then it starts to name the things that are against us, and it doesn't list world leaders. It says condemnation. Condemnation. Who can condemn? I want you to know who can't condemn. The Bible said that there was a war going on between an angel called Michael and a fallen angel called Lucy. And the scripture said they were fighting over something called the body of Moses. You remember the body of Moses? The Lord said, go climb up that mountain and you're going to die according to the word of the Lord. Not because you're weak, because he could see really good and his body was still strong. Strong enough he climbed a mountain his last day on the planet. And the scripture said the Lord buried him. I want you to know, if the Lord buries you, Satan's got no right to accuse. And so the Bible said when he began to accuse, that Michael said, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. I just think what his accusations were he deserves to go to hell. This body needs to go to Sheol. This body is an illegal body. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who's got the authority over who dies and who lives. And so you are going to be rebuked, because if I bury you, nobody's going to know where you are. If I bury you, you'll never find the body. If I bury you, guess what? If I bury you, you'll be alive in the New Testament. If I bury you, you're going to show up on a mountain of transfiguration. And so you're baptized into an inheritance. Unbelievable. Think about that. What else? And then what do I got to do? So then what do I have to do? Well, here's what I hope you do. Go after the fullness of hope. Here's what I hope you do. Imitate those who inherit, who don't just pray, they inherit the promises, Hebrews 6:12. Think about that. So what else do I got to do? Inherit. What else do I got to do? You don't got to do anything. You start to live in his power. You are no longer anything. That's the glory of it. You have been taken by him. You are not. You're not. That's what Enoch was when he was baptized into heaven. Translated. He did not see death. You and I never will see death. There never, you go ahead and bury me, burn me. I don't care what you do. I prefer if you burn me. Whole lot cheaper. But my body, my friend, does not matter because this is not my body. I have already been baptized into who I am. I've already been baptized in the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that one of these days I'll be made like him. He is who we are. Let me say that again, because that'll be my final point, is that it's not metaphorical when it says you are a son. We're like, well, we ain't deity, not yet. How could you be begotten of deity and not have deity? The reason why the transfer in 1 Corinthians 15 from son to father is because we are now son. He is who we will be. And that's just the truth. It's not a metaphorical, you're kind of a son. No? You are sons of God. The Holy Ghost isn't telling me I'm part of a kind of like a son. Are you a son of God or are you not a son of God? There is no in between. But no, our God, the Bible said, birthed us. Not by the will of men flesh, but by his own will, by his own word, he begot us. And the scripture literally said his seed is in us. You talk about DNA, that's what you're talking about. And it's not this body here. It's what the scripture says I will be. And what I will be, I'm living right now. What I will be, it's in part, but I want all that part. I want to maximize that part because there is no limit. There is no measure. There is no extent to where you're too far. No, stop. You're too much like me, is what God's saying. I don't like that. You need to sin a little bit so you still feel human, so you can relate to the world. We're never supposed to relate to the world. I can associate with you because I've been arrested for drugs. No, you can't. That didn't all of a sudden give me some great ministry. That's ridiculous. I want you to know that we're not supposed to, hey, I'm going to go, I'm a drunk, I'll go around drunks. I'm an addict, go around addict. Pornography, go around pornography, people, because I can reach it. No, you could never reach anybody. You couldn't reach yourself. The Spirit draws. The Spirit draws. But what my job is to do is to live so deep in him that there is nothing down here that I want to call my home, that I'm continually seeking a city to come. Praise God. Amen. That's a crazy idea. When you think about that, I'm a son of God. But the Bible said he gave him children. He's not ashamed to call him brethren. This is the Lord's word, not ours. And the only way you're made a son of God, he gives you the authority to become sons of God, as many as believe on his name. And you believe on his name the moment you are baptized into his death. You know what that is? Eternal judgment. That's eternal judgment. After death comes the judgment. For every one of us that were baptized into his death, we already bypassed eternal judgment. We have no great white throne. No, sir. We've already been declared innocent in Jesus Christ. Righteous in Jesus Christ. It takes away the fear of talking about heaven. It takes away the fear of talking about the rapture. It brings out nothing but hope, hope, hope. Because I've already bypassed eternal judgment. So you're baptized into him. And it's a spiritual baptism. Which means you're not being baptized on earth. Being baptized in the eternal. Because you are born from above, eternal. Not 2.0 Gray Glover Lazarus resuscitated. I'm talking the one that was before the beginning. He said, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 1, he says, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth. Okay, we're starting all the way there. In a revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, in the beginning, your hands laid the foundation of the earth. Whoa. Heavens are the works of your hands. One of these days, you're going to take that off. the earth, heavens, and you're going to roll it up like a garment. It shall be changed. You remain the same. When he's talking about the rest, wherein the Bible tells us he desires faith-filled people to enter, he says his works were finished from before the foundation of the earth. I want you to know, my friend, when you're talking about Christ, you're talking about somebody who's got no beginning. He has got no ending. He's the one who was in the beginning before there was an earth, and he's the one who's going to be after this is all rolled up. All the earth lovers, you couldn't kill the earth if you wanted to. But it's intended to die, be rolled up like a garment. Jesus Christ is eternal. And the Bible said we're born into his name. You are immediately a co-heir. Not going to be now. Joint heir with Christ. We're the church of the firstborn. He's the one that's got the birthright. And we're the one that's living in the share of it. Can you imagine that? That all these children are one name? Whether you're a daughter or whether you're a son, the Bible said there's no more male or female because it's not the Genesis 1 image of God. You can't look at the image of God anymore, male, female. That's the natural creation. The heavenly creation is not a male, female, human being image. Thank God. I don't know about you, but I hope God's a little bit prettier than Gregory G. Hey, man, it's not anything like that. It's the image he's revealing of the one on the throne, the one who said, I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. It's the one that said, when I bring my son in, every angel's going to rejoice. He's talking about that one where he says, I got a scepter in your hand called righteousness. I've anointed you with the oil of gladness above your brethren. This is somebody, my friend, where you get the image from Scripture revelation. Praise God. I have no idea. We just know that the Lord said it ain't nothing like here. It ain't nothing like this. The children of the resurrection. And so the Bible tells us here that we have no continuing city. But we seek one. We're like, we got to win this world. You don't have to win anybody because you couldn't. You follow the Spirit. You have to remember that God's cool with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He's cool with Esau going his own way. He's cool with Ishmael going his own way. He's cool with six other sons of Abraham going their own way. He's cool with Noah and his seven family members. What our job to do is we're going after him because we are seeking a heavenly place. The Bible said where our names have already been written. We've already been enrolled as citizens. How much worry should I have? The Bible said I'm approaching him. Here's how I'm supposed to approach him according to the Word of God. With a clean, pure heart. Why? It's been washed. He purged my conscience from dead works. How purged is your conscience? You should not be accusing yourself. My conscience is turning to heaven for an appeal. That's what baptism did, 1 Peter 3:21. It gave us an appeal to heaven out of a good conscience. I am not a sinner. I'm not blamed. I'm not shamed. I'm pure because he made me pure. And I believe what he said. I'm true because he said I'm true. I'm purged because he said I'm purged. And I'm going to seek a city. Not this one. I'm not winning this city. I'm seeking a city. Think about that. You're talking about a revival. God's going to change the world. I want to see everything they saw in the book of Acts. And you can't see it if you don't see who they saw. And they weren't seeking miracles. They were seeking him. They were seeking him. And stuff happens along the way where God manifests when you're seeking after him. And that's how the world is won. But the world's not won by being the focus. You are won by the world when the world is the focus. So he said, I'm seeking a city, and I'm done, sorry. We go to him outside the gate. And we're seeking a city. It's going to come. That's amazing to me. Because it can't be shaken. Everything can be, will be. But we've got some promise from God. We got an unshakable kingdom. And so right now, I'm an alien. I was born in heaven. I was not born in Sitka. I was born in heaven. The one born in Sitka died already. We already buried him in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I was born in the city called Jerusalem. It's the city of the living God. If it's the city of the living God, I can't die. And so I do not fear death. And I do not fear what death has with it. And I do not fear accusation. And I do not fear judgment. I do not fear any of those things. I walk in nothing but favor, 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 favor. Stand with me, please. So he says this. He declares his name. And so as he blesses as he's dying, he blessed all 12 sons of Israel according to the blessing. Not according to what he wanted, just according to what God told him to do. The Bible tells us that. Let me read this. It's Hebrews chapter 2. He says he comes and declares his name. We said that already in the congregation. I want to show you what he's doing. Because Moses said, hey, God, would you show me your glory? He says, here's what I'll do. I'll proclaim my name. So here's what he's doing in the middle of these people. Verse 5, the Lord descended and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He didn't say, in the name of the Lord. He said, the Lord passed by before him, so there's substance going. He's got to hide him in the cleft of a rock. He's passing by, so there's who he is. He's passing by as he's proclaiming that name. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, and keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. King James kind of messes that last part up there, but he does clear the people that cannot clear themselves. Then he's visiting the iniquity of the people that do not come for forgiveness to the fourth generation. And Moses fell on his face and worshiped. When he begins to declare the name of Jesus Christ, it's just not Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. He says, he's sitting on a throne. Who's my name? So part of his name being declared in Hebrews is, I said to my son, this day have I begotten you. I'll be to him a father, I'll be to me a son. Again, when I bring my son into the earth, I'll say all you angels rejoice. He goes down the list. He's declaring his name via the Old Testament. Who I've always been. The Spirit of Christ wrote the Bible according to 1 Peter. He's declaring who he is to us. The Bible said he is the literal, glorious effulgence. He is God's glorious effulgence. The exact imprint, the stamp that makes the picture, he's the stamp. He's the literal seal, the name Jesus Christ. He is by himself purged our sins, upholding all things by the word of his power. The one that who is made greater than angels because he inherited a more excellent name. The name Jesus Christ. The name Jesus Christ. And he's expounding, declaring. And you're looking around this building right here. Yeah. And I bet you there's somebody that needs a God who's in charge. Mm-hmm. And you got him.
And I bet you there's somebody here that needs a God who on your behalf is exercising the judgment of righteousness. I need righteous judgment. There's somebody here that needs to hear again, God by himself purged my sins. Not by me, not by my might, but by himself. I receive that for free by faith. I'm baptized into that inheritance by faith. Oh, what a God we've got. Somebody here needs a God who is unchanging, who never stops being the same. The God who's greater than all of creation. All this world, let it pass away. This God, the same.
Right, praise God.
On and on and on it goes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You and I, my friend, that's our inheritance. We are not of those who have a destiny called hell.
Right.
Nope. We are of those who are baptized into the one who's got the keys of death and hell.
Hallelujah.
Right here. He said it's open. No way death, because when you're baptized into him, you're baptized into eternal life. Yeah. You're not baptized into physical resurrection. Eternal life. Yeah. Ever living. The scripture tells us that this body is going to be adopted, and the spirit we've got from him is first fruits. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about you, but I think the spirit is pretty massive. The Bible said we got first fruits. Think about that. There ain't nothing worth this world. There's nothing worthy.
Right.
That's first fruits, and none of us have ever gotten close to maximizing the spirit.
Right.
And he says it's first fruits. Why? Because we're him. We shall be like him. We shall be changed. There's going to be a sonship we really have absolutely live in. There's nothing of this earth.
Amen.
The Bible's giving us the hints and the tastes of it, and the foreshadows of it, all these things that are going on. And we've just got to learn to begin living in that realm. Isn't that the key right there? Bible said when he was blessing Jacob, he blessed him by faith. But you know what caused that faith? Scripture said he's standing in front of Jacob, who's wearing Esau's clothes. He's got bloody goat skins on his neck and his hands. Have you ever smelled that? Your hunting clothes, do they smell good? No. And he comes up next to him, and he's really doubting everything about this moment. Not doing what he's supposed to be doing. God wants him to bless. And the scripture said he comes close and he smells goat and dirty Esau hairy clothes. And he says, oh, the smell of a field that God has blessed. I guarantee that the skins and that garment did not smell like that. I guarantee there was an interruption in the Holy Ghost. That can make a stinky man smell like a field. What's a field like God's blessed smell like? I have no idea. But obviously Isaac knows that smell. And when he smelled that smell, the Bible said he blessed Jacob. And the scripture said, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. You and I have got a realm, my friend, that is not of this world. Whether we smell it, whether we see it, whether we hear it, we need to learn to walk in it. Because that's the greatest inheritance. That's the greatest life.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So I want to say to you, if you have not been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, that's where it all begins. It starts right there. You baptized into his everything painful. And you just come up out of it. Nothing about that works. He did the work. You're coming up out of it. The beating, the death, the going to judgment, all of that. He did it all. Taking away sin, putting it on himself. Reconciliation, peace, one new man, Jew, Gentile, all of it. He did it. And I'm just, boom, baptized into his body. And I'm immediately a co-heir. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Lord.
I got to teach my kids that you live in that. It's what he said he did.
and you believe it. It's what he said you did, you do it. It's what he said you can do, you do it. Be it, be it. But it's his experience. And so if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, get baptized. That's where it all, your life begins there.
Right.
Amen. But to every one of you that's in this room right here, 1,000 generations, we all got the same inheritance. I'm inheriting with Sherry and the Denny's, Walkers, Greg French, you. We're all in Jesus Christ. He says, look at them all there. Right next to the God, the judge of all, without fear. Why? It's the spirits of just men made perfect. They're rejoicing. They're celebrating. It's a glorious moment here. It's nothing to fear. It's nothing to be afraid of here. This is something so awesome, and it's just so powerful. And here we are now down on this earth looking for a city. Walk out of Jerusalem, he said, get outside the gate. Let's go bearing his reproach, continually offering up the sacrifice of praise. You and I right here, right now. How deep are we living in Jesus Christ? How jacked up do you got to have authority? The authority of the Word of God. Shout hallelujah! That's the opposite of authority. Authority's got the dimension of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, my friend, doesn't have to scream because there's nothing that does not obey him. There's nothing that does not already live underneath him. There's nothing not already finished. So here we've got a Jesus Christ who's prevailed and overcome, the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, all of that, and we've got that kind of authority. Do you have to feel it? Or do you just have to believe it? I want you to know it's always going to start with the revelation of his word. His word makes everything true. If he puts his word in the Jordan, you will get cleaned of leprosy. Because the word's in the Jordan. If he puts his word in the water of baptism, your sins are going to be washed away. Not because of the water, but because you're baptized into the word. What's his word say about who we are? More than conquerors through Christ. More than conquerors through Christ. That's not something you've got to feel. Live it. You live that.
Right.
Think about that. You live that.
Right, right.
That's a revelation of authority.
Praise God.
Praise God. So come gather here at the front real quick, please.